This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
And now, a yak.
Yak!
Welcome back, everybody, to Something's Brewing, your weekly Texas Longhorn football recruiting podcast. This is episode number 14. And as always, I'm your host, Jason Sukumel, here to get caught up on the latest happenings with Texas recruiting, maybe preview some things that might be coming up around the corner. And as I mentioned last week, I want to spend a little time kind of going through our recruiting board. I updated our Longhorn recruiting board, where we just take a snapshot of all the recruits on Texas's radar. We break it down by position, tell you what Texas's chances are. We tell you how many guys they're targeting at each position with that recruiting board. And we're going to kind of go through that thing today a little bit, position by position. And I updated that sucker, I don't remember what it was, Monday of last week. And then Texas got a commitment Monday afternoon. And then I updated it, I think it was Wednesday morning or something. I think I posted it, and Texas got a commitment. So it's in constant needs of updating and refreshing, but it's pretty up to date, and I'll try to adjust on the fly as we talk about it here. I guess we'll start with that. You know, I've got a couple other topics I want to get to, but let's go ahead and start with the recruiting board. I'm looking at it as I talk to you here, and it's kind of hard to visualize, but we'll just go through it as best I can and try to describe it for those of you who haven't seen it on orangebloods.com. We'll kind of describe it, but we'll start off with the quarterback position, and of course, and I have Texas at needing one quarterback in this class. And sure enough, Texas got a commitment, an early commitment, from Rashawn Johnson, the dual threat Rivals 250, or actually just out of the Rivals 250, but should be a Rivals 250 in my opinion, but four-star quarterback, dual threat prospect, number 11 on the Lone Star recruiting top 100. He was a super early commitment. Really, that was pretty much it, man. Texas backed it down after that. Didn't really target any other quarterbacks. There was some thought early on that maybe Texas might take two, but that didn't happen. Now, Peyton Powell's a guy. I have him listed on this board as a receiver, but he's coming in as an athlete. He'll enroll as an athlete. So he's a guy that could figure into the mix at the quarterback position for a little bit, but I just don't see it happening long term. So it's pretty much Rashawn Johnson at the show for quarterback. Now we jump over to running back, and I'm going to kind of gloss over this pretty quickly because I want to get a little bit more in depth on this a little bit later on with some guys. But I have Texas at needing two running backs in this class. They got an early commitment, or fairly early commitment, out of Darian Brown, the four-star running back, Rivals 250 member out of Buford, Georgia. Brown's kind of a speed back who can really take it to the house from anywhere on the field, just kind of a home run threat. So really good pickup there. Now what Texas is trying to do is find one back to complement Darian Brown. The guy that everybody's kind of focused on right now is Noah Cain, of course, a guy from IMG Academy in Florida. He visited Texas a few weeks ago. He's been to Penn State since then. He was at Georgia last week. So Noah Cain's the guy everybody's looking at. Texas is still in on Trey Sanders, the number one ranked running back in the country. They've got a recent offer out to DJ Williams, kind of an up-and-coming back out of Sebring, Florida. And recent, I think it was just last week, they offered a JUCO running back out of California. New guy to the picture, Ramondre Stevenson. And I'll talk about him a little bit more. But right now, Texas has one. They want to get to two. Noah Cain's the one everybody needs to worry about right now. He's going to decide December 19th. He'll probably have his decision made before that. If they get Noah Cain, Texas is probably done at the running back spot. If they don't, then you could see things heat up with a guy like DJ Williams or the JUCO back Ramondre Stevenson. Okay, let's flip, jump over to wide receiver. A lot of names on the wide receiver board. Man, if you go on this recruiting board, I'll just kind of try to visualize this. I have it by position. I have wide receiver, and then I have parentheses, four or five. So I'm thinking Texas needs to take four or five commitments in that class. That's what that means. Right now, Texas has, I've got him with five commitments. If you're counting Peyton Powell as a receiver, if you're counting Jordan Whittington as a receiver, but hey, they're still after a guy like Brew McCoy, of course, but it's crazy, man. If you look, I also list the players, they're committed players. I list the players they're still actively recruiting and involved in. You know, if they got an offer out to a guy and he's not looking at Texas and they're not talking to him anymore, he's off the board. But I've got the guys that they're still recruiting. And then I have other offered targets that are committed elsewhere. It's kind of a whole bottom section of this board. And man, there's, 15, 16 names there. There's a couple guys that Texas has offered that aren't looking at Texas anymore. So bottom line is, man, Texas has gone after a boatload of receivers. Right now, they've got five committed. You've got Jordan Whittington. You've got Jake Smith, the Rivals 100 member out of Scottsdale Notre Dame Prep. Jordan Whittington, of course, is a Rivals 100 member as well. They've got Marcus Washington, the big receiver, fairly recent commitment out of St. Louis Trinity Catholic, Rivals 250, four-star prospect. And I mentioned Peyton Powell, who could come in at quarterback. He could play defense, but Texas likes him as receiver. I think that's where he'll wind up, is at receiver. The guy that I haven't mentioned yet, the fifth of that bunch, and he committed pretty early, is Oklahoma City Millwood wide receiver Damarian Houston. And the reason I kind of listed him last, there's word floating around this week that the Oklahoma Sooners could try to make a run at Damarian Houston because they lost a receiver commitment of their own in RJ Henderson. I think in my understanding, that's kind of been a mutual parting of the ways for Oklahoma and RJ Henderson. Well, now there's speculation, could Oklahoma try to circle back and make a run on Damarian Houston, the in-state receiver out of Oklahoma City? I did some checking around on that. I checked with an Oklahoma source that, hey, he told me, man, I have not heard that. He's actually checking on that tonight to see if there's any truth to that. There's some stuff heating up there. I texted with somebody at Damarian Houston's school, and he kind of played coy with me, but he said, hey, that's kind of news to him. You know, he said those Oklahoma coaches and Texas coaches have a big game this week. You know, he wasn't expecting anything crazy to happen, but, you know, the word is that Oklahoma could try to swing by next week and take a closer look at Damarian Houston. Well, makes sense. They've got a running back committed from the same school. So they might, you know, you got to think, okay, Marcus Majors, a running back, they're going to obviously go by and check on him. Well, sure, they'll give Damarian Houston a look. Does that mean he'll get an offer? Does that mean he'll be interested? I don't know. That's something we're still trying to track down. But right now, Texas has five receiver commitments. They're still in on Brew McCoy, the five-star receiver out of Mater Dei High School in California. We talked about him a bunch. They're still on the fringe there for Kennedy Lewis, the receiver out of Melissa, who was close to committing to Texas a few weeks ago, but decided to kind of slow things down. Texas is still in on Elijah Higgins, the receiver at Austin Bowie. I talked to some sources this week, and not a lot of movement there. Everybody's just kind of waiting for some action to happen there. I still think it's going to be Stanford, and I think Stanford feels pretty confident there based on the things I've been told. But that's kind of the receiver situation. They're at five, Texas is. Keep an eye on Damarian Houston, and then can Texas close on a guy like Brew McCoy or possibly circle back on a guy like Kennedy Lewis? That's kind of a hot position to watch. Tight end's pretty simple and straightforward. I've got him as needing two commitments. Texas landed two early commitments. Braden Leibrock, the Rivals 250 member out of Chandler, Arizona, and Jared Wiley, a three-star prospect out of Temple, Texas, a guy I think personally should be rated higher than he is, but Texas got two early commitments there. And they shut it down, just not really looking at anybody else. So tight end's done. You move on from there to offensive lineman. Okay, that's another one that gets pretty interesting. Let's see. The Longhorns have two commitments. I'm just looking at the list here. I've got them as needing four. Okay, they have two, one from Tyler Johnson, the Rivals 100 member out of Conroe Oak Ridge, four-star prospect, one of the best tackles in the country. Doesn't say much, but this is a young man that's locked in. He's been committed for a while. He's locked into his Texas pledge. The other one is from Javon Shepherd out of Houston North Forest. man, Shepard's a guy. I think I've probably mentioned his name in some capacity pretty much every week on this podcast. Well, there was talk that he was going to visit A&M last week. I was never told that was locked in. Yeah, it was a possibility, but with Javon Shepard, man, until he's in the car on his way to campus, you always got to take any reports of him visiting, be it Texas or anywhere else. You've got to take those reports with a grain of salt. Now, the good news for Texas, Shepard did come up to Austin on Tuesday. It's Tuesday evening. He did come up to Austin on Tuesday morning, spent some time on the Texas campus. He went to the Texas practice. Sounds like things went well there. I've said this for the past few weeks, okay? I think Texas holds on to that commitment. I just do, based on some things I've heard behind the scenes. You know, A&M's not giving up. Shepard's mentioned taking some other visits. I'm not completely sure he'll take those visits. Even if he does, I think he sticks with Texas, okay? But it's certainly a situation worth watching. So where do those other two, if they need four, they have two, where do the other two commitments come from? Isaiah Hookfin's a guy that I'll talk about a little bit here, a little bit more later on. He's a young man who Texas offered a couple weeks ago. He has the Longhorns high on his list. I think Texas is a team to beat there, so he would be a strong possibility to push Texas up to three commitments. The fourth one gets a little bit tricky. Myron Cunningham is a junior college offensive lineman out of Iowa Central. Texas has offered him. He has told me he's going to take an official visit to Texas. He has visited Oklahoma already. Arkansas is heavily involved there. It's a pretty heavy competition, but Texas has told him, hey, man, we got a left tackle spot that's wide open. You know, their starter, Calvin Anderson, is a senior. He'll be gone. Myron Cunningham, you can come in and have a chance to start. So he is interested. It's just a matter of can Texas get him on campus and close the deal with schools like Oklahoma and Arkansas giving a hard charge. I don't know. It's too early to say on that. But so if they need four, if you get Hookfin, that's at three. That fourth one looks a little shaky, man. I mean, Andrew Coker is a player who's committed to TCU. He's told me he wants to take a visit to Texas. I could see that happening here in the next couple weeks. If that happens, he's a guy that could come into play. You know, they could target another JUCO guy if they can find someone who's interested at the last minute. Could be something where they just keep evaluating guys all the way up until February to see if anybody, a late developer, pops up. Could be a case where they just go with three and hold that scholarship for next year. We'll see. But right now, Myron Cunningham and I would say Andrew Coker are the two guys I would be looking at to potentially fill that fourth spot. Flipping over to defense, and this one changed in a hurry. Defensive ends, I had him as needing two or three, and then I had him at defensive tackle as needing, I had one, but they could take one or two there. But right now they have four what I would consider defensive end commitments and no defensive tackle commitments. Okay, they have Tavondre Sweat, defensive lineman out of Huntsville, who could grow into a defensive tackle prospect. So, you know, call him a swingman on the defensive line, I guess you could phrase him that way. Peter Pagy out of George Ranch High School down in the Houston area. He's a solid commitment. And then just recently, Texas picked up a commitment from Myron Warren. I think we talked about him at length last week, the defensive end out of Manny, Louisiana. And Texas last week picked up a commitment from junior college defensive end Jacoby Jones out of Butler County Community College in Kansas. And I'll talk a little bit more about Jones's commitment since that happened in between last week's podcast and this week's podcast. That's pretty new information. So I'll give you some background on that here in a little bit. But Texas right now is at four defensive ends, assuming everybody sticks. I don't see anybody peeling off. Myron Warren might be a possibility to keep an eye on if LSU was to offer him. But he told me, hey, man, he's sticking with Texas even if LSU does offer. So we'll see. But right now, Texas, you know, looking at the defensive end board, Texas has, call it 3.5, because Devondre Sweat could be a defensive tackle, but they're pretty well done at defensive line, the Longhorns are. Last couple position groups here, let's look at linebackers. Texas has three committed in Gabe Floyd, the Rivals 250 member, out of Westlake Village, California. Talked about him, I think, last week. I mentioned, you know, he was in town for the entire week, actually almost 2 weeks, due to the California wildfires and Thanksgiving break. He's completely locked in for UT. Marcus Tillman, a young man out of Orlando Jones High School. He's solid with his commitment. He's been committed a while. David Benda out of Katy Cinco Ranch, another early commitment. So Texas is at three. I have them as at needing three or four. They want one more. And the one guy they're really targeting right now, we've talked about him a bunch, Caleb Johnson, the JUCO linebacker out of Fullerton Community College. Texas is the team to beat there right now, but he's going to take an Oregon visit this weekend, so that could shake things up. On my recruiting board, I keep kind of glossed over the percentages here. I have Caleb Johnson at 55% landing to Texas. So I do have Texas as the leaders there. And, you know, by comparison, I had Jacoby Jones last week at 70%, the young man who ended up committing to Texas. And truth be told, I kind of sandbagged that one a little bit because I knew he was committed. He had told me he was going to commit, but I can't put him at 100% on that recruiting board. Otherwise, that pretty much gives it away. So I sandbagged there a little bit. Yeah, I had him at 70%. Comparison's sake, Isaiah Hookfin, the offensive lineman, I have him at 65%. I have Myron Cunningham at 40%. And let me explain these percentages a little bit. Everybody says, well, if Myron Cunningham's at 40% and he's also looking at Oklahoma and Arkansas, does that mean he's 30% Oklahoma, 30% Arkansas, meaning Texas is the team to beat? No, that's not how I do these. I say, hey, Texas versus the field. The field is 60%. Texas is 40%. So I have Myron Cunningham at 40% likelihood to wind up at Texas, meaning I think there's a better chance right now, slightly better chance he winds up at either Arkansas or Oklahoma than he does at Texas. Scrolling up my recruiting board a little bit here, I've got Brew McCoy at 40%. In fluctuating. We'll talk about that one a little bit more here because there's some shuffling going on at USC, so I'll get into that here in a second. I have Kennedy Lewis at 35% and trending down. I have Elijah Higgins at 35%. Those are my receiver percentages. Running back, I have Trey Sanders at 35%, holding steady. I have Noah Kane at 65% and rising. Now, this was done last week, so that was before he took that Georgia visit. Frankly, if I was redoing that right now, I'd probably put Noah Kane at about 55 to 60%, meaning he would be trending down a little bit from where I had him previously. So those are some of the percentage plays I have. But let's look at the linebacker. You know, I have Caleb Johnson at 55%. Okay. Defensive back recruiting. I have Texas at needing four or five defensive backs in this class. You got to remember they took a big class last year. Kenyatta Watson is committed, the Rivals 250 member out of Grayson High School in Loganville, Georgia. Chris Adamora is committed, young man out of Mayfair High School in California, another Rivals 250 member. Marquise Caldwell out of Alvin is a Texas commitment, Alvin High School down in the Houston area. And Tyler Owens out of Plano East is another Texas commitment. Now, if Texas gets to five, where's it going to come from? You look at a guy like Jalen Catalon. That's a guy everybody has been asking about from Mansfield Legacy. He did tell me on Monday of this week he's going to take his Texas official visit on December 14th. So Texas is still in the mix there, obviously. This one's kind of been a Texas, Arkansas, maybe TCU to some degree, but it's been a three-team race, really. Arkansas has kind of surged out in front there. Catalon took a couple visits to Arkansas in the fall, including an official visit. And people who cover the Arkansas program have told me that that one looks really, really good for Arkansas. So I have Catalon at 30% with Texas and trending down because I previously had him. I think I had him over 50%. Honestly, it's been a while since I had updated this, but I had Texas as the team to beat for Jalen Catalon. Now I've dropped it down. I think Arkansas is a team to beat. I have Texas at 30%. But getting him on campus in a couple weeks for the Longhorns could be big. If they want to make a move and swing that thing in their direction, it's going to have to happen on that official visit. So There we have it. That's the overview of the recruiting board. A couple other names could still pop on that sucker. You know, I'm going to try to update this thing once a week from now on, just because we're kind of at that time of the year where things move in a hurry. But those are kind of a quick overview, a quick snapshot of the top players on Texas's recruiting board right now. Texas is currently at 22 commitments. They have the number 5 ranked class in the nation per rivals.com. So it's a class. It's a strong class. It's still got some big pieces that they need to round this thing out. You know, I've been told this class could go up as high as 28. So I think you're looking at a total recruiting class between 25 and 28 commitments for the Longhorns when it's all said and done. So let's talk about some of the developments over the last week. Okay. Some of the things that have happened. The big one, of course, was the commitment from Jacoby Jones, the defensive end I mentioned on the recruiting board at the JUCO defensive end out of Kansas. He committed on Wednesday of last week, and a little bit of backstory there. I mean, that one was pretty much in the bag. Jacoby Jones decommitted from Oklahoma a couple weeks ago, and then he came in for his Texas official visit for the West Virginia game. Well, listen, the signs were pretty apparent at that time. The writing was on the wall. I think we talked about him last week as a guy that I remember. In fact, I said, hey, Texas could get one commitment, meaning Myron Warren could even get, I said, they could possibly get two commitments coming out of last weekend. Well, Jacoby Jones was the other visit that I was talking about there. So I guess it would have been 2 weekends ago, rather. It was the West Virginia game. Jones, you know, I talked to him last week, and you know, like I said, all signs were pointing to Texas. He and I were coordinating to have I was going to have an edit done up. He gave me quotes on it. He said, yes, I'm committing to Texas, but please don't put it out there. He said he didn't know when he was going to announce. He said, it could be this week. It might not be till December. I said, okay, that's no problem. I said, just kind of keep me in the loop. You know, I'll have an edit done up. Those players like to have these pictures done up with the commitment graphic and all that. I said, I'll write a story up with the quotes you gave me. I'll have it ready. And he goes, okay, man, you're good. You know, I'll give you a heads up. This was on Tuesday night he and I talked. We had been texting a little bit, you know, Monday and Tuesday. You know, he told me, yeah, he committed privately, but he didn't know when he was going to announce it. Well, we talked Tuesday night. He gave me some quotes, told me it probably wouldn't happen, maybe later in the week. Like I said, maybe not even till December. As luck would have it, Wednesday night, man, I'm driving home, and I'm walking through the door, and I get an alert on my phone from his Twitter account. I'd set up mobile alerts. Jacoby Jones committed to Texas. I'm like, damn it, man. I didn't even have time to get that edit done. I didn't have my story written. I had the quotes, but I didn't have the story like actually put into story form. So I literally ran inside. My daughter, my 11-year-old daughter standing in my way. I kind of gently, mind you, but I shoved her out of the way. I'm like running back to the computer so I can put that commitment on orangebloods.com, put it on Twitter, and I hammered out his story in about 10 minutes with the quotes he had given me a couple days prior. But my daughter's looking at me as I'm running to the computer like, what did I do wrong? I'm like, hey, get out of my way. I got to get to the computer. This is urgent stuff. But, you know, big time commitment for Texas. They need experience along the defensive line. They need some pass rushers, some guys who can hold the edge in a three-man front, and Jacoby Jones fits that bill. He's about 6'4", roughly 250-ish, 250 pounds. So he's a big defensive end who you can play in a three-man front. He's athletic enough. He can be an edge rusher if you want to do that as a four-man front. Texas has even talked to him about playing some stand-up rusher off the edge. You know, just a big commitment that Texas needed to happen. Once he decommitted from Oklahoma, the Longhorns were in a good spot there. They did a really good job to close on him. So that was the big development from last week, Jacoby Jones' commitment. The other thing we're kind of watching closely, man, I talked about a little bit in discussing the recruiting board, running back recruiting. Man, this thing keeps moving every week. Something new seems to happen, okay? And the guy we're watching, and most of the movement seems to revolve around Noah Cain. Noah, you know, he's visited Texas. He's visited Auburn a long time ago. He visited Penn State a couple weeks ago. The thought here in my conversation with Noah, my conversation with his dad, just other kind of recruiting insiders, if you will, is it's Texas or Penn State, with Texas holding the lead coming out of his Texas and Penn State visits. Now, Noah ends up visiting Georgia last week. Everybody thought Georgia was kind of out of the picture because they got a running back commitment a couple weeks ago. Well, not so fast. Georgia did a good job of selling Noah Kane and his family on, hey, no, we still want you. We want two running backs in this class. They told Noah, we think your style is a lot different than anything else they have on campus, and certainly from the other running back they have committed. They did a really good job, Georgia did, put themselves back in the mix. And I talked to Noah's dad on Monday, and he said, hey, Georgia is a strong contender in this. So you got to keep an eye out for Georgia there. I still think Texas has if I'm a betting man, I don't feel great about it, but I'm still putting my money down on Texas. I still think the Longhorns are the team to beat. I'm expecting Texas next week. Now, Noah's mother lives up in Texas, up in the Dallas area, in the Denton area. So what I was told was going to happen is Texas is going to fly up next week. Not sure what day yet, but they're going to see Noah's mother in the morning. From there, they'll fly to Louisiana. Noah's dad lives in the New Orleans area. So they'll fly to New Orleans and spend some time with his dad. And from there, the coaches will then fly out to Florida, IMG Academy, where Noah's in school, and do a school visit out there in Florida. So, Texas is putting in maximum effort here to land Noah Kane. They'll do a couple of those visits. They can do one a week now with the contact period. Tom Herman has a visit. I'm not sure when he'll go. Noah's going to decide on December 19th, so they may – it's an interesting one. They may save Tom Herman till, you know, right before he decides, but you got to be a little careful with that because I think Noah's going to, he's going to decide on the 19th. He's going to announce on the 19th. His plan is to have his decision pretty much made maybe by the end of next week or so. So he's looking at possibly taking one more visit. LSU still involved there. Tennessee, I was told Oklahoma is a school that could get that last, that fifth and final visit. So got some real moving parts in this one, and it'll be interesting to see how Texas handles it when they pull out the big gun and send Tom Herman to go do his in-home visits. But regardless, expect Stan Drayton and maybe one or two other coaches to spend some time with Noah's parents and with Noah Kane next week. Now, Texas is still in on Trey Sanders. I mentioned him, the five-star running back out of IMG Academy, high school teammate of Noah Kane's. That was just not trending the right direction for Texas. It's just not. I think Alabama's the team to beat there. I've felt that for a while. I think Florida's still in play. Texas has done a great job, man, to give itself a strong, just a legitimate shot there. But I just think in the end, it's going to be too much to overcome Alabama and Florida, those two schools that are a little closer to home. Well, what you've seen happen here in the last couple of weeks, Texas has extended a couple other offers in the event they don't get Noah Kane. You know, I did mention DJ Williams. He's a running back out of Florida that Texas offered a couple weeks ago. Williams is scheduled to visit Texas not this coming weekend, but he told me the following weekend, December 7th, he'll take an official visit to Texas. You have to figure at that point, the Longhorns, the UT coaches have a pretty good handle on what's going to happen with Noah Kane. So we'll see how aggressive they are with DJ Williams over the next 2 weeks. You know, he was at Auburn last weekend. He's going to visit Miami. I think Miami could be tough to beat there. You know, they're an in-state school. He's got some pretty good options. So Texas has got some pretty steep competition for DJ Williams. The other guy, Ramondre Stevenson, I mentioned him, the junior college running back out of California. Texas actually offered him last week. It kind of flew under the radar. And it popped up this week, you know, hey, this is on Twitter that Texas had offered him. I did reach out to Ramondre Stevenson. I talked to him or communicated with him this week. And he said, yeah, man, that Texas offer was big for him. He wants to take a Texas official visit, the ones he said he knows he wants to take, Texas, Oklahoma, and Utah. Those three have all offered him. He wants to visit all three of those schools, but he doesn't have any visits planned right now, he said. And he's not going to decide or commit or anything until February. He's not planning on signing. So that actually works out pretty well for what Texas wants to do, because, you know, they can see what happens with Noah Kane, probably see what happens certainly even with DJ Williams. If they don't land either of those, then they bring Ramondre Stevenson in January for an official visit, and you hope to seal the deal there on a young man who his stock has really blown up. He rushed for 2,100 yards, almost 10 yards a carry this year. He was a conference offensive player of the year. I think he was a JUCO All-American this year. So really a talented player that's kind of flown under the radar, but you're starting to see him gain a lot more attention. But I think the way that one sets up timing-wise works out perfectly for Texas. So those are kind of the names. Like I said, some moving parts with running back recruiting. It all starts and ends right now, though, with Noah Kane, kind of waiting to see what he does, and then the other dominoes will fall into place after that. Let's talk a little bit about Brew McCoy, the five-star athlete slash receiver that Texas has been after, young man out of California. Man, this one's getting trickier and trickier to predict. That's a lot of ums, I'm sorry, but I'm gathering my thoughts here. When Brew McCoy took his official visit to Texas back in September for the USC game, the Longhorns did a whale of a job with him and with his parents. They came out of that visit. I said, I thought Texas was probably either co-leaders with USC or maybe the Longhorns had crept out in front. But again, kind of like Trey Sanders said, hey, the longer this thing goes on, though, you know, kind of the shine of that Texas visit back in September might wear off a little bit. He still had USC visits. He's taking his USC official visit this coming weekend, so that'll be big. He could squeeze in another visit. I'm not sure if that'll happen at this point, but here's the deal. USC, you know, they let go of four assistant coaches. Coach Helton, their head coach, is coming back next year, but they one of their assistant coaches took another job. Three of them were let go, including T. Martin, their offensive coordinator. Their quarterback coach was let go. This all happened on Tuesday. It became official on Tuesday. So, you know, if you're Brew McCoy, you're looking at the USC coaching situation. And, yeah, Helton's coming back, so you know the head coach will be there. But for how long? You know, what happens if you go there and he gets let go next year if they don't turn this thing around pretty quickly? You know, you don't know right now who the offensive coordinator is going to be. So that's a big deal. I mean, he's visiting there this weekend. They'll have a lot of questions that they will need to get answered. Now, I see that and I think, okay, that helps Texas's cause immensely. And I want to kind of label the Longhorns as the leader again. But, man, I checked with one West Coast source, one USC source last week. Every time I start to buy into Texas leading for Brew McCoy, I hear the West Coast side of things, and they're like, nope, you're wrong, dude. He's going to USC. You know, West Coast analyst I talked to and kind of recruiting guy said he thinks it's USC, but yes, Texas has given him a lot to think about. If things go sour on USC, if the official visit doesn't blow him away, he thinks Texas gets him. But right now, he said his money's on USC. I talked to a USC recruiting insider who I've known for years, and guy has good intel, and I really trust him. He and I were kind of exchanging messages last week, and I told him, I said, hey, man, I think Texas's chances are better than most people realize. And he flat out said, man, he's locked into USC, and he has been for a while. Even if Helton got fired, he said he still felt pretty confident that Brew McCoy was going to USC. So it's a tough one to gauge, man. Is that overconfidence on the USC side of things? Or am I crazy? Is there overconfidence for me and other, you know, Texas folks on the Texas side of things? Because bottom line is both sides seem to think their chances are a lot better than I think the other side would tell you. So tough one to figure out, but Brew McCoy's visit this weekend to USC, I think will be huge. If I'm forced to put my money down, like I said, I'd take Noah Kane to Texas. I'm putting my money on Brew McCoy staying home, going to USC, joining some of his future teammates. You know, there's rumors on Tuesday that USC is looking to hire Cliff Kingsbury as an offensive coordinator. Well, hell, if you're a receiver, that's got to get you excited if there's any truth to that. So, you know, again, some moving parts. And Brew's not planning on announcing his decision until the Army, or I keep saying Army All-American. It's no longer the Army All-American game. It's just the All-American game on January 5th. So there's some time there for USC to kind of sort things out and for Brew and his family to see what happens with the USC coaching staff. So one other guy I wanted to kind of highlight here before I put a bow on this one, and I'll get back to the Q&A thing next week. This week, I just wanted to kind of go over the recruiting board for a little change of pace. But I did talk to Isaiah Hookfin, the offensive lineman who Texas offered a couple of weeks ago. He came in for the West Virginia game. When Texas offered him, you know, a lot of fans, and I see it on Twitter and other recruiting insiders, like, oh, he's going to Texas. He's going to commit. It's going to happen anytime now. Well, man, Isaiah Hookfin's told me all along, no, I'm not going to rush into a decision. I'm going to take some visits. I might not even decide until February. Well, I talked to Hookfin this week, and he said, okay, I am going to go. He is going to go ahead and commit, like, probably on or around December 19th. That's when the early signing period starts. He's narrowed it down to 10 schools. I don't think, you know, 10 certainly, he's not going to look at 10 schools realistically, but he did tell me he wants to visit Auburn this coming weekend. He might visit Baylor or Southern Miss. I think there's a good chance to see him on the Baylor campus. If he takes a visit this weekend, it'll probably be to Baylor. The Baylor staff did an in-home visit with him yesterday. He wants to possibly visit Auburn on December 7th, and he's going to visit Texas on December 14th. Well, you know, I don't want to overshoot this thing a little bit, but he's an in-state kid. He really likes Texas. He's strong on academics. Everything would seem to point to Texas. The Longhorns are going to get his last visit. He's going to visit Texas the weekend of December 14th, turn around and commit a few days after that. You know, anytime a school gets the last visit, that's where you want to be. So I think Texas is in a really good spot there with Isaiah Hookfin. As I mentioned on the recruiting board portion of this podcast, I think the Longhorns are the team to beat there and have a pretty healthy advantage there. And he'd be a nice compliment to Javon Shepherd, a young man who, again, was on campus on Tuesday afternoon, and Tyler Johnson. That'd give Texas three offensive linemen. Then if they could find a fourth, that'd be ideal. But if not, not the end of the world. But, you know, that's kind of the news for this week, guys and gals. Again, I had some questions submitted for a Q&A, but I wanted to get to the recruiting board deal this time just because there's so many moving parts. And just to kind of give an overview of the Texas recruiting class and where things are heading position by position. So with that, I'm going to wrap this sucker up and call it a day. And this weekend will be big. Texas, of course, has a big game Saturday at 11. You know, one of the questions I did see submitted was, will this game on Saturday, will a loss impact Texas's recruiting efforts? No, the answer to that is not at all. I mean, the fact that Texas is in the conference championship game, the staff has already built up so much confidence, so much trust, so much goodwill with recruits. A loss this weekend certainly doesn't hurt. A win this weekend, though, could absolutely help Texas's chances to close the deal on some of these guys. So, you know, just if you're a Texas fan listening to this, as I'm sure everybody is, just know that this weekend can sure as hell help a lot. I don't think it's going to hurt. So it's a win-win situation. Texas has done tremendously well just to get to this position. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap this one up, and we'll be back next week with another episode of Something's Brewing. I'm your host, Jason Sukumel. I want to give a big shout out to our partners at the Yak for helping produce and host this content. And as always, you know, I say it every week, and I mean it. I appreciate everybody taking the time to listen to this. I hope you guys are enjoying it. I'm still kind of finding my way with this, but I appreciate everybody listening, taking an hour or so out of your week. You all have a great week, a safe week. Enjoy the game on Saturday, and we will be back next week to talk more Texas Longhorn recruiting on your Something's Brewing Longhorn Recruiting podcast. I'm Jason Sukumel, and y'all take care and be safe. Thanks.